The text is the lesson just read from Jeremiah 20. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Jeremiah was frustrated. He had been preaching the word of God faithfully to the people, but he was receiving pushback. He had been calling the people to repentance, but they did not want to repent. He had been announcing the coming judgment of God, that the God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was coming to bring judgment upon the people in Jerusalem. But the people rejected the message. The more he preached it, the more they opposed it. Now, in those days, church and state were united. When Jeremiah preached that the Babylonians are coming to destroy and it is God's will, the ruling officials accused him of treason. They arrested him, imprisoned him. Right before our text is an example of that. Pashur, one of the heads of the temple, arrested Jeremiah and imprisoned him, put him in stocks there in the Benjamin Gate leading into the temple area. Jeremiah's message fell on deaf ears. And to Jeremiah, it meant beatings and imprisonment. So Jeremiah was frustrated. He spoke his frustration to God. After all, this whole business of preaching was God's idea in the first place. It wasn't Jeremiah's idea. God called Jeremiah and Jeremiah objected. I'm not a public speaker. I'm too young. God answered his objections and persuaded Jeremiah. So Jeremiah dutifully proclaimed the word of God to the people, and he met constant resistance. He protested to God. You persuaded me, Yahweh, and I let myself be persuaded. You laid hold on me and prevailed over me. I have become a laughingstock the whole day long. Everyone mocks me. They would ridicule him. Here comes old terror on every side. Here comes old fire and brimstone himself. The more he would proclaim, the more they would dig in their heels. Jeremiah became a joke, a punchline. If TV comedians had been around back then, they would have portrayed him as the church lady. Now, isn't that special? Jeremiah had become a joke. Preaching the gospel of God can meet resistance, but preaching the law of God can meet resistance as well. Who needs this abuse? There are other vocations. Surveys tell us that a lot of clergy are leaving the ministry early. The number one reason is frustration, constantly receiving pushback. Why beat your head against a wall? You seminarians are about to enter into the holy ministry. You're excited. Rightfully so. You should be excited. It's a wonderful life as a called and ordained servant of the word. But it will happen in a few years that you will become disillusioned. There will be those minor irritations when members fight over trivialities. But the real disillusionment will set in when you proclaim the word of God and it is repeatedly ignored, neglected, trivialized, or even fundamentally resisted. It is the very word of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, his very word. And yet people prefer to listen to other voices. At your first call, you can expect only 35% of the people to even show up. Very few will attend Bible class. You eagerly want to preach the word, and after 5 minutes, they tune out and start thinking about Cardinals baseball. Americans don't like to hear the word of God. Oh, they have various defense mechanisms to avoid hearing it. In this country, they won't lock you up for preaching it, at least not yet. But people will vote with their feet. Only 18% of the country goes to church on any given Sunday. Christianity has been privatized. You people are free to do whatever you people do in that building Sunday morning, just don't bring it out into the open. Christianity has been rendered harmless and insignificant. It has been thrown into the same basket with non-Christian religions. They're all the same, people say. It has been trivialized, as someone put it. Americans have become practical atheists. God is not really a consideration in their day-to-day life. And they are not very interested in hearing the word of God. Jeremiah was frustrated. He says, "The word of Yahweh has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long." The Almighty God called him to proclaim God's own words. But the more the prophet does that, the more the people oppose it. So Jeremiah decided to keep quiet. "If I say to myself, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." The word of God penetrated his very heart and soul and mind. It was like a burning fire inside of him. It had to be preached. He could not keep silent. When he proclaimed, he met resistance. When he kept silent, he could not live with himself. So Jeremiah faithfully proclaimed the word of God for 40 years. In spite of resistance, in spite of beatings and imprisonment. "The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it." What moved and strengthened Jeremiah to persist in the ministry of the word in spite of the resistance? What will move you and strengthen you in the ministry of the word? Jeremiah says, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he delivers the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers." What moved and strengthened Jeremiah was God's own promise. God would be with him and God would deliver him. That deliverance might come at different times, but Jeremiah knew that the God of Israel would keep his promise. The God of Israel who gave that promise did keep that promise. Even in Jeremiah's own life, God delivered him repeatedly from false accusers. And in the fullness of time, the God of Israel did his act of deliverance big time. The God of Israel sent his only begotten Son into human flesh to deliver. One of the Trinity joined humanity and entered into Israel's own history. He was of the house and lineage of David. During his public ministry, he took on the mantle of a new and greater Jeremiah. And like Jeremiah, he was resisted. Even more so, he allowed himself to be arrested and mocked and falsely charged. He even allowed himself to be executed Roman style. But the God of Israel delivered him from the hand of evildoers, even from death itself. On the third day, God raised him up bodily. He is now exalted and ruling over all nations and authorities, over all powers and principalities and rulers of darkness, and all to the benefit of the ministry of his word. Jesus is ruling over all things, and it's to your benefit and to the benefit of the ministry. He will deliver you from the hand of evildoers, ultimately on the last day at the bodily resurrection when he comes in glory. Let his promise move and strengthen you in the ministry of his word. So when you become disillusioned, when the word of God falls on deaf ears, remember Jeremiah. Read his book, all 52 chapters. And remember how Israel's Messiah himself met resistance even to the point of death. We, his disciples, are not above our master. Remember how the God of Israel raised him from the dead and exalted him above all things to your benefit and to the benefit of the ministry of his word. Remember how he promised to return again in glory and to deliver you from the last enemy, from death itself. In his name, your labor will not be in vain. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus the Messiah. Amen.